Anyway, we're starting here on the top of Nun Dalet Amun Aleph. We're going to just review a little bit. The Gemara asks over here, Menahane Milay. Where do we know this from? The Gemara is asking, how do we know what the Mishnah said is true, which is that Bia, no matter how it manifests itself, is Koneh by the case of Yibum. So Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Yivama Yavo Aleha, Mitzvah. So here, the first Braita tells us, Yivama Yavo Aleha, Mitzvah, which means that we give precedence, we give priority to the performance of the mitzvah of Yibum over Chalitza. Devar Acher, another Braita, Yivama Yavo Aleha, Ben Bishugeg, Ben Bimezid, Ben Bonis, Ben Biratzon. So here is the source that the Gemara says, Yivama Yavo Aleha, doesn't matter how that happens, doesn't how that manifests itself. If he's Yavo Aleha, then she is a Yivama, then the Yibum is consummated. Gemara says, Vaha Fikte the mitzvah, didn't you just bring the Braita before, just brought, that they use that terminology already to tell you, we give precedence to Yibum over Chalitza. So when it says the mitzvah, we learn that out from a different part of the pasuk there. If he does not choose to take this woman as his yivama, then he performs chalitza. We learn out of that pasuk, ha-chafetz, the diuk out of this pasuk. What we infer from here is ha-chafetz yabem, that if he so chooses, he can do Yibum, meaning that that's what we want. This is only if he doesn't want to. But if he wants to, that's what we should do first, is Yibum. So that's how we learn out that. B'chiyat HaKra, therefore, Yivama Yivola comes out, Ben B'Shogeg, Ben B'Mezid, Ben Bonis, Ben B'Ratzon. Tan Yidach, another Braita, Yivama Yivola Kidarka, Ulikacha, Shalo Kidarka. So again, here are the different types of biot that were mentioned in our Mishnah. So here they bring a braita that tells us the other possibilities of biot that will succeed with regards to consummation of the yibum. So if you have ma yavola, that's kedarka, ulekacha, shalo kedarka. Vibeim, bia gomeret ba, ve'en kesef ushtar gomrim ba. Only bia is able to create yibum, whereas kesef and shtar, which are functional by kiddushin, don't work over here. Vibma is baal korcha, even against her will. Now there's no vibeim. We did this earlier in the Masechta. It's the word vibma, just without the hey at the end. So they've learned two things out of this, because the word is unnecessary, but they build up the two sections of the word, the core of the word, the shortage of the word, as well as the additional hey. But here you see ba'al korcha, even against her will, which we saw earlier in the Masechta. Devar acher, yivama yivola, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezi, ben b'onis, ben b'ratzon. Va'afikte l'kedarka. Didn't you already use this kedarka? And again, you brought a braita that learns out two different things from the same word. Okay, afikte l'kedarka. You just used it for something else. When it says, hahu, that we can learn out from the other braita, melakim l'achiv shem nafka. We're going to use the word lakim l'achiv shem. The whole purpose of Yibum over here is to provide his brother with a name. A name means a descendant. And so in necessitating a descendant, we say that the bi'ah that he does has to be a bi'ah that can accomplish lakim l'achiv shem. So again, the Gemara brought down here four braitot, and each braita has a limud. Twice, the braitot said, yivama yivola teaches you something other than what we're looking for, which is, yivama yivola, we want to learn out of that, whether ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'ones, ben b'ratzon, works. But yet, here the braita twice brought other limudim. Both times the Gemara says we don't really learn it out of Yivama Yivola. The first time it says we learn it out of Vimlo Yachpotzeish. Ha! Imchafetz Yabim. So that was the first one. And now again, we learned out Kidarka. How do we know Darka? It's not from there, but it's Lakiv, Lachiv, Shem. So Bamakom, Shemikim Shem, in the place that he can produce a descendant, that is Koneh in terms of Biyah. And that can only come through Biyah Kidarka. Biyah Shalok Kidarka is not going to produce a child. So certainly that's not what it's speaking about there. V'chi atakra ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'onus, ben b'ratzon. And that's our conclusion. That is, the source for this is Yivama Yivola, because we have that pasuk available now to teach us that it doesn't matter whether it's shogeg, mezid, ones, ratzon, that it works in terms of being koner, consummating the yibum, versus the other limudim, which we used other psukim for now. So now we have a limud for all the things that we found in the Mishnah. Number one is the different forms, which is shogeg, mezid, ones, ratzon. We also found kidarka and shalo kidarka, which were both found in the Mishnah, that we again have a source for. And then, as an aside, we also learned bal korcha, which is something that we'd seen earlier in the Masechta, that she does not have to necessarily be a willing participant in the Yibum process, although the Chachamim instituted that it is that way, and we saw that later on, again, they changed it, that if she objected, we didn't allow Yibum to go through. So Gufa, now the Gemara goes back to what we just saw at the end of Nun Gimel Amud Bet, the beginning of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, which is the Gemara is searching for the case of Ones. What's the case of Ones? So one of the suggestions was, the Gemara suggested that maybe when he was sleeping, that was how he was koneh, the Yivama. But instead, it worked out that the Gemara says we have a statement from Rav Yehuda that says that doesn't work. I'm Rav Yehuda, Yashin lo kana yivimto. That sleeping, it does not work in terms of kinyana yibum. So there, my Rashi and Tosafot before disagreed about what the problem was. Rashi says that he's a lav bardat, whereas Tosafot just says that he's lacking in kavanat abiyah. So therefore, it doesn't work. Damar kra yivama yavola. Ad demikavin la b'shem biyah. This sounds more like Tosafot's approach, which is that he's got to have kavanah in order to perform biyah. So here, kavanah to perform biyah while you're sleeping is impossible. So that's why Tosafot says it doesn't work. Rashi says if you're sleeping, you're not a bardat. So obviously you don't have kavanah the biyah. And that's what the failure is over here, is a lack of kavanah the biyah. So that's why when you're sleeping, you can't consummate the yibum. Vatanya. Don't we have a braita ben er ben yashin? Whether he's awake or whether he's asleep. Ema. So there, the Gemara amends the Braita to say, ben Eira, ben Yishena. Whether she's awake or whether she's sleeping, because we don't need her acquiescence. Since it can be done by Al-Korcha, whether she's awake or sleeping, you can consummate the Yibum with her. So the Gemara amends the Braita to read in the female form rather than the male form. But now we find a Braita that causes a problem, which is Vatanya, ben Er, who? Ben Yashen, who? Ben Eirahi, ben Yishenahi. Here you can't amend the Braita because it's clear it's speaking about both parties here. It's whether he's awake or asleep, whether she's awake or asleep. Now what are you going to do with that based on Rabbi Yehuda's statement, which says that sleeping never works? Hachumayaskinan, what's the case here? Bimit nam name, when he is dozing off. Hey chidami mit nam name, what is the situation in which we're talking about that he's dozing off where it still qualifies as a bi'ah, but it is not considered to be like he's completely awake or completely asleep. He's dozing off. This is a sugya that we see many places in Shas. Amar Rav Ashi, nim velo nim. He is falling asleep, but he's not asleep. Tir, which means air. He's awake. Velo tir, but he's not awake. Kigon. Let us give you an example of someone who's in this state of twilight zone where he's falling asleep, which is the karuleva ani. If you speak to him and you call him, whether it's his name or you speak to him about material, he'll respond. If you ask him yes or no questions, he'll answer yes or no. At the Friday night table, someone's falling asleep. If you ask them questions, they won't answer yes or no. V'lo yada le'adurei svara. If you ask them anything complicated, they can't answer. They'll give you gibberish back. V'chi midgar olei midgar. But if you feed them the information, they'll be able to respond to that information, say yes or no, once you give them even more complicated stuff. So that's the state that we're talking about here. As you can see here, it's cross-referenced in many places. Gemara Pesachim, where we saw it. That's a question of whether you're considered to be in one chabura, two chaburot, if you fall asleep in the middle of the Korban Pesach. In Tanit, when you go to sleep the night before, when is it considered beginning the fast? Is this also, it's brought up there. In Megillah, when is it considered to be an interruption in the middle of the Megillah, or you yotzei the Megillah when you hear it in this form? So again, it shows up many places in Shas, this description of not being asleep and not being awake. Where is that fine line between being awake and being asleep? And here the Gemara gives you this concept of mitnam name, where you're still considered to be awake, even though you're dozing off. Now, Gufa. So now here's the next case that we talked about at the top of Nun Dalet Amud Aleph. Amar Rabba, nofo min agag, vinitka. He fell off the roof, and nitka, he landed right into his yivama. Again, as I mentioned before, this case probably never happened. The Gemara is just testing the limits of the halachic process here, trying to understand what does it mean that you don't need kavana in terms of the biyah. Okay, v'nitka, he ends up in his yivama. Chayav be'arba'ah dvarim. Here, when someone falls off a roof and lands on someone else and causes damage to them, there you're responsible for the damage. There are actually five items that a person would be responsible for damage. Here, out of those five, four of them he's responsible for. The one he's not responsible for is boshet. Is embarrassment, because by embarrassment you need kavanah, you need intent. It's clear here that he did not intend to hurt the person, he fell off the roof, it was an accident. But with regards to nezek, tsar, ripui, and shevet, those are the four other areas we'll talk about in a second that he is chayav for, there the Mishnah in Baba Kama uses the exact same lashon as it uses here by Yivama, which is Ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben bonus, ben b'rotzon, a person who causes damage is responsible. I mean, that doesn't matter. You're awake, you're asleep. Whatever you do damage, you're responsible for the damage that you did. Uvimto lo kana, b'yivama, does not work. B'nezek, when it comes to nezek, b'tzar, b'shevet, b'ripoy, in all those areas, you're chayav. Nezek is the damage. The damage is the assessment of the, we'll call it the devaluation of the individual. The way they assessed that in those days was, since there was an active slave trade, and what would this person be worth if they were sold before the accident and after the accident? So that's the diminution in value. Bitzar is the pain caused to the individual from you doing this nezek, this damage to them. Shevet is unemployment, their inability to work now, pay them for that unemployment. Ripui is their doctor bills that you have to pay for. These, all of these things you're chayav for when you cause damage to another individual. Ava bolshet lo mechayev. With regards to embarrassment, that is something that is assessed only in cases where it's done intentionally. There you would assess the boshet. Here it was unintentional. Therefore, there's no boshet assigned with it. Damar mar, ein chayav ala boshet ad shi yikavein, until you have intention. Amarova, nitkavein latiach bakotel, vitiach bevimto. If he had in mind, for whatever reason, to insert himself into a wall, and he lands inside of his yivama instead, lo kana. In that case, he's not koneher. Latiach bibeima. If he was going to perform bestiality, vitiach bibeima, and instead he ends up inside his yivama, kana. Then it does work in terms of consummating the yibum. Daha mikavin l'shem bia ba'olam. The key difference here is the act that the person was about to enter into. If he's entering into an act that is otherwise deemed to be biyah, then if it ends up together with his yivamah, that's a biyah with his yivamah, and that suffices to consummate the yibum. On the other hand, if his action is not otherwise considered to be biyah, then if he lands inside of his yivamah, then it won't work. That's the same thing when he fell off the gag, and he lands inside of his yivamah. He had no intention for biyah. Since he had no intention for biyah, even though that's what turns out happened, it doesn't help him, because he has to have intent for biyah. Although he doesn't have to have intent for anything else. I mean, not the consummation of the yibum, not the fact that it's his yivama. Again, it's ones ratzon, mezid, shogeg. All of that works as long as he's intending to do an action that is biyah. If the action is biyah, that suffices to consummate the yibum. Now, echad ha-me'areh. Now here in the Mishnah it says it doesn't matter in terms of the biyah here, what type of biyah was performed. It doesn't matter if the biyah was a biyah gemura, which is a complete biyah, or what the Gemara otherwise terms as a me'areh. Me'areh will deal with about exactly what it is, but here it's a case where it's not full penetration of the woman. In that case, we're going to see now, this is the limud, that by all arayot, that will obligate you, and you'll be culpable for such an action. Biyah is not a complete biyah. Biyah means contact between the male and the female. That's enough to generate a problem in arayot, as well as, in our Mishnah, it says to consummate the Yibum. So here, the Gemara wants to know the source for that Me'areh works, or is classified like Bi'ah. So how do we know that? Again, what exactly Me'areh is, the Gemara discusses in other places. How much contact, how much penetration needs to be. It's not this sugya here, but the Gemara just wants to know, how do you know this even works? So Gemara says, Amar Ula, Minayin lahara mina Torah. Where do we know from the Torah that such a Bi'ah suffices to create either problems or help you in this situation? Shenemar, v'ish asher yishkav et isha dava v'gila et ervata et mikora he'era. So here you have, in the context of nida, it says mikora he'era. So he'era is a problematic relationship or contact between you and a nida. Mikan lahara min haTorah. So that's how we know that hara is problematic min haTorah, because by nida it tells you mikora he'era. There you would be chayav, or culpable for the fact that you engaged with a nida. So we see that hera is enough. So it says, ashukha nida. That's fine for nida. Shara rayot minayin. How do we know to extrapolate that to all other cases where bi'ah is the issue at hand? V'chit eiman nelif minida. So what are you going to say? Let's learn out of a nida. Nida, just like it is true by nida, we'll learn by other else. Mal nida, shekei mitamad bo'ala. Nida has a chumrah which won't let you learn to other areas, which is an individual engages with a nida. Not only is nida tmei'a, the person that engages with her, the bo'el nida, also becomes tmei. So she has a certain amount of tumah that is then passed along, is able to generate tumah in others, and that's not true of any of the other arayot. The other arayot, even though the Torah terms them as tumah, they don't have the sense of tumah and tara like a nidah. And so nidah has this chumrah or side to her where she is both tmeah and can convey that tumah to others. So ela atya me'ishidach. We're going to learn it out of eishidach, dichtiv. Because ve'eishidach it says, ve'ish asher yikach et eishitachiv, person who engages in a relationship with his brother's wife, nidahi. It's problematic because she's a nidah. Maras, v'chi eishitachiv de'olam nidahi. How is that possible that his brother's wife is always a nidah? That's just not true. Ella kinida. Must be that the Torah, when it mentions the word nidah, is creating some sort of equivalence between eishitach and nidah. Ma nidah behara, af eishitach behara. So it passes along this halacha that we have by nidah, now brings it over to eishitach because of the comparison between eishitach and nidah. Ma leishitach, shekein biyado derabot. Wait a minute, Eishrach also has a side to it, which does not appear in all the arayot, which is that he can increase the number, which is Dibai Mikadesh V'Azel Ki Alpha. Because if he wants to, he can go up to 1,000. Obviously 1,000 is just an exaggeration here, although we do find by Shlomo Melech, it says that Elif Nashim, that he had 1,000 wives, 1,000 women, so that might be also why they use the word Elif over here. The point being that this individual can marry as many women as he wants, and generate the erva of Eishirach. Eishirach is not an automatic erva, but it's called an erva because of kirva, because of relationship, because of familial relationship. It's an erva that is generated through marriage. So you could possibly extrapolate from Eishirach to other arayot that are generated through marriage, but arayot that come from the nature of the familial relationship, you wouldn't be able to learn out of Eishirach, because Eishirach has this tzad chumra, which is that you can make as many Eishirachs as you want in the world. So, Ela Atya Machot Av Ve'achot Eim. It comes out of this pasuk by the aunt, an aunt from the father, an aunt from the mother. Dichtiv. Vervat Achot Imecha V'achot Avicha Lo Tigaleh. Says that the erva of your mother's sister and your father's sister Lo Tigaleh Ki Et She'ero He'era. So here is a relative, because your relative, he'era. So he'era, again, here we have the word ha'era. So the problem is that your relative, you had this type of relationship with ha'era. There, you're talking about a familial relationship, not a marriage relationship. Ika lemifrach, you can also undermine that. Malachot av v'achot eim, shkein isura ba me'elav. It's an isura that comes by itself. Now, truly, it's not necessarily an isura that comes by itself, but the meaning here means that it's a familial relationship, it's not a marriage relationship. So, because it's a familial relationship, therefore you can't extrapolate that to the cases of kiddushin. So the truth is that you could actually, right, you have both scenarios now. You have the scenario of eishirach, which is marriage, and you have the other one, which is the case of familial relationship through achot eim and achot av. So the Rishonim do ask at that, why now at this point, why don't we just learn all of these items out? So you look at the last Tosafot on the Yamud, he asked that question. He says, Iksha Rivan, Dimeachota Beim Nelif Isra Ba Melav, Umeshirach Nelif Hecha Da Yidei Kedushin. Now you covered all the Arayot. He says, Eshlamar, De Eshirish Loati. Eshirish won't come out of this. Digdati Kekaparich Visamuch. Malahanach Shekin She'er. So because these are all about relationships or relatives, whereas Eshirish is a problem of, it's a marital problem, not a relationship problem, because even to a third party, Eishirish, someone else's wife, is problematic. Nothing to do with familiar relationship, nothing to do with the marriage that generates a relative. It's simply marriage that causes the problem. So he says, you might have covered everything except Eishirish, and that's why this will not suffice. Therefore, the Gemara moves to a Tzada Shaveh, which is Mechada Lo Atya. So we can't learn out of one. Teite Chada Mitarte. We'll learn out one from two, or basically we'll use two of them together to generate etzad shaveh, the commonality between them, that will teach us this. Mehai teite. Which ones are you going to learn it out of? Teite mi eishirach v'achot av v'achot eim. You're going to learn it out, like we just suggested over here, av eishirach and achot av v'achot eim. Malahanach shenken asurim mishum she'er, which is what the Rivan just noted, that these are problems of she'er, of relationships, of relatives. The closest of their relationship to you is what causes the problem. Whether it's generated through marriage or through blood, it's still a relationship that causes the problem. Ella, teite mi nida v'achot av v'achot eim. So let's use nida and ants to do this. Malahanach shenken isura ba me'elav. Both of those are isurim that are self-generated. Again, they're, one is a blood relationship, one is a natural cycle. Ella, teite mi nida v'eishirach. So now, Nidah and Eshedach together can provide us with this. To my perach, what are you going to break it up with? Again, before Eshedach was through Kiddushin. Nidah will solve that problem because that's Haba Me'elav. Nidah was a problem because Mitamed Bola. Eshedach doesn't have that. You have now both Tzadim here, which are together, the common denominator between Nidah and Eshedach is that they are Erva. They have this din that Heira suffices. So from that, we will then extrapolate to all the other Arayot that this must be the din. Matkifla Ravacha Breda Ravika, Malanida Veshedach, Shekein Ein Lahem Heter, Bechaye Osran. But the problem here is that in the lifetime of the one who creates the Isur, it does not go away. Now this is not so simple, the question, the Gemara is going to ask the question that will jump out right away, which is this isn't so simple, but Eshedach, as long as the brother is alive, the Isur never dissolves, dissipates in any way. The Nidah, as long as she's around, or a Nidah, it doesn't go away. So Tomar Be'eshedish, Shekein Yesh LaHeter B'Chayei Osra. That's not true by Eshedish. By marriage, if the marriage is dissolved or annulled in some way, then that woman can be married to someone else, or the Erva or Arayot goes away from her, even though her husband or ex-husband now is still alive. Amar Le Ravacha Midipti Ravino, Ata Nidah Ve'eshedach B'Chayei Osranhu, Tein Lam Heter. Wait a minute, that's not true. Aval acher mikan yesh lahem heter. It all has to do when the person's alive. That's when the Isur is there. As soon as they die, then the Isur is released. That's not what determines over here. Those are not the factors at hand. It's the question that you would have asked, obviously, which is, Nidah, first of all, has nothing to do with the woman herself. It has to do with the number of days. Meaning that even if she, for instance, divorced her husband, if she was still a Nidah, she would remain Asura. It has nothing to do with her marital status that she is a Nidah. The only thing that determines Nidah are the number of days, the days of Tumah, the days of Tahara. That has nothing to do with her marital status or her status as an Irva vis-a-vis a relationship. It's simply the days. Eshedach, Bibanim Talia, Rachmano. And also, the brother's wife has nothing to do with being married to the brother. All it has to do with is, did they have children? Children are the determining factor there as to whether she becomes Muteret or not Muteret from the Isur of Eshedach. Has nothing to do with whether she's married to the brother or not married. When he dies, the only question is, did he have children or not have children? That's nothing to do with whether he's alive or not alive. So the Gemara rephrases the question, Ela Parichochi. This is the common denominator between Mali Nidav Eshedach, Shekein Ein Osran Matziran. So Eshedach and Nidah, the person that's married to them is not the one that is Matir them. Again, if the husband of a Nidah passes away, she's still not Muteret because she is a Nidah. That has nothing to do with her marriage, it has to do with her status as a Nidah. Also, the case of Eshedach. When the brother passes away, that does not automatically make the woman muteret. What makes her muteret is whether she had children or didn't have children. So these have an exogenous variable that determines when they are muteret or when they are asura. It has nothing to do with the marriage. I mean, obviously, the marriage contributes to the problem. But just because the one who's married to them passes away, that does not automatically mean that they are mutar. So because of that's a common denominator between these two types of arayot, which is there's some other variable that plays into whether they are asura or muteret. And because of that, now you can't extrapolate to other arayot because they have a common denominator which is not found by other arayot. So now we come to the final answer, which is Ela Amar Rabbi Yonah. This is a famous limud of Rabbi Yonah that deals with Parshat Arayot in Achremot and in Kedoshim. Amar Rabbi Yonah v'item Rabbi Yehuna b'rei de Rabbi Yeshua Makra, the pasuk says, Ki kol asher yaseh mikol ha-to'evot ha'ela, v'nichritu ha-nifashot ha-osot. So this is like a summary pasuk in Achremot, which says that anybody who engages in all of this despicable behavior, they will be chayav karet. But it put them all together. It clumped them together into a single unit. And by doing so, it's hukash kol ha-arayot, kulan l'nida, all the arayot. It's not just true of Nidah, it's true of all the arayot. Therefore, if we have a limud, if we have a din that is found by one of the arayot, we can apply it to all the arayot because they've now been bundled into a single entity called Erva. So because they've been grouped together by the Torah through this pasuk, therefore, if we know something by one of the arayot, we can apply it to the other arayot. So that's true here by Nidah. Ma Nidah behara, av kol behara. So therefore, since the din by Nidah is Mikorah He'era, so we know He'era works by Nidah, therefore it's going to make you culpable by all the Arayot because of this singular grouping of all the Arayot together. Now this might be despite the fact, as we discussed on Memtet, that Nidah may not be an Erva. The Gemara rejects the fact that Kiddushin fails by a Nidah, according to everyone. Even though there's a Chiyuv Karet associated with Nidah, and Kiddushin should not be Tofsin, nevertheless, The Gemara says, brings the pasuk v'ti nidatala, that teaches you that she has kiddushin even though she's a nida. When the Gemara said that, what did it mean? Did it mean, yes, she's an erva, but kiddushin still works? Does that Gemara say she's no longer an erva? She's not erva like the classic sense of erva. Despite the fact she's still found in this grouping in Achremot, she is under the pasuk of karet that associates them all together. So being in the Parshat Arayot, as Rashi says, nidak tuva b'parshat arayot. The fact that it's written there is enough to have her in that grouping, even though she herself may not be classified as a erva, like the classic sense of erva. But being together is enough to make their hekesh that whatever din applies by nida will apply by the other arayot. Now once you've done that, we just brought two other psukim as proof, eshedach, and achot av, achot aim, that had the word herayim. Now, once you do that, what are you going to do with those psukim? We'll learn everything out of nida now. Those become extraneous. I need a limud by each of them. And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. Ve'ela nida dichtiva gabi esherach lamale. Why does the word nida appear by esherach? Before we thought it was to teach us about hera. But that's not it. Look at the Rav Huna. The Amar Rav Huna remez liyivama minatorah minayin. How do we know about yibom minatorah? Gemara says, minayin? What do you mean? Haktiv, Yivama Yivala. There's a whole parsha about Yibum in the Torah. What do you mean, where is it hinted to? It's explicit in the Torah. So, Ela Remez liYivama Shasura B'chayei Bala Minayin. How do you know that a Yivama, while she's married to this brother, is a surah to the other brothers? So it says, Haisvarahi. That's a logical thing. Mida Amar Rahman, if the Torah says, Achar Mitat Bala Sharia, that after her husband passes away, she's Muteret, Michlal de B'chayei Bala Surah. That means that while her husband's alive, she remains problematic. All these havaminot here are somewhat suspect, but what the Gemara is suggesting over here is while she's married to the brother, if they don't have children, technically he would be able to take this woman and have children with her to help out his brother. That would be the suggestion that the Gemara is making over here. Might be he divorced her. The problem is that it clearly says, Lakim Shem Achiv. If his brother's still alive and can be Mekim Shem Achiv, why would you perform that marriage? Or, Tosfot says that the Havamina rests on this idea that came into Shari Rachman Achar Mita, since the Torah says it's Muteret after Mita, Ain't Svara Lamar Das Sira B'Chayei Bala. There's no reason to say she's a Surah while her husband is alive. And what are you going to say? She's a Surah, and then when she falls to the brother, it's Asay Dochalot Asay? The Gemara is suggesting that they don't think the Torah would have just written it to say Achsei Dochalot Asay. Ella, it must be that she's muteret all the time. Now, the Gemara is going to have to discuss why that's just not the case. So the Gemara is entertaining some wild havaminas here. I don't think that they really think these are true, but they're working through this to get to a point where they understand why they need nida by Yeshirach. Bedilma, tachart mitat bala mitzvah, that after the husband dies, I mean the brother dies, then there's a mitzvah to perform yibum. B'chayev ala reshut, it's optional. While the husband's alive, it's optional. So it says, inami, tachart mitat bala in, or even if you want to say that the diok that you made, the logical argument that you made here, that only after death is it permissible, then obviously while he's alive it's not. That's only an isur that comes out of a positive statement, which means after death you must marry this woman, meaning we're going to infer that while he's still alive you may not marry that woman. That's what's called an isur asay. And Isra Asay is classified as an Asay. That means there's only a positive commandment associated with her. So Amar Kra, the pasuk comes along and says, what you're all asking, isn't this one of the Arayot, Eshet Achiv? So that's what the pasuk says. Ish asher yikachet Eshet Achiv, Nidahi. So what does Nidahi add on there? It teaches you. V'chi Eshet Achiv Nidahi? What do you mean? Eshet Achiv is always a Nida? Ela kin Nida. Ma Nida afo pish yesh la heter la achar mikan b'shat Isura b'karet. Even though, and this is what Elchanan, you were suggesting now, which is that by Nida, there's this strange concept. This is how Tosfot classifies it not being one of the Arayot. Tosfot back on Daf Gimel with Aleph asks, why is it Nida on the list of the Arayot that are Poter Tzarata? He says, because Nida is not the real type of Erva. Because Nida is something that either, Machlok there in the Rishonim, either it's something that happens over and over again, it goes on, off, that's not the nature of Arayot. Or, arayot are only things that are asur to you, but mutar to other people. That's called erva. Nida doesn't have that. Nida is asura lakol. So that's not considered to be erva. So Nida has this strange standing within the arayot, which tells you that even though at some point she will be muteret, nevertheless, when she's a nida, she's asura, and chayav karet over this nida, so too by esherach. Even though in the future esherach will become muteret, nevertheless, when it's not muteret, it remains under the rubric of arayot, and you'd be chayav karet. It's what you would have assumed. That it's basically what we thought, But the Gemara has to just show you that that's why Nidah is here, is to teach you that you would think, and we have this concept in other places, which is that Shum Heter, if you have, for instance, certain things like Shabbat, we are allowed to override Shabbat for Korbanot Tzibur, for certain items. So that's what's called Hutar Michlalo. Since it has Heterim that allow you to override it, it's a weaker form of Isur. Because it's a weaker form of Isur, you might override it in other cases, or you might suspend it in other cases. So the same thing here, Eshet Ach and Nidah have Heterim associated with them, which means that they're suspended at certain points. Because of that, you thought that that might actually affect their status as Erva. What it's coming to teach you is no. Just like by Nidah, the Heter is Heter, the Isur remains Isur and Isur b'chiyub karei. So to Eshet Ach, the Heter is the time of Heter. Otherwise, you don't extrapolate to say that Eshet Ach is not such a severe Isur. It's a full-fledged Isur, it's Arayot, and it's chiyub karei when he's married to her until the point in time where he passes away and there are no children. That's the only time that Yibum comes in. So that's what it says here. Ma Nidah b'chiyesh laHeter l'achar migan b'shat Isurah b'karei, af Eshet Ach nami. Even though at some point it will become mutar, okay, so we solve why Nida is written by Eshet Ach. What about the hara that is written by the ants? Achot av and achot aim. What about that? It's because of the question that Ravina queried of Rava. Person who has a homosexual relationship, is Hayara considered to be a problem there? Remember it says, Mahu, what's the din there? It says, Bazachur Mishkevei Isha Ketiva. There's no question because the Torah terms it as Mishkevei Isha. Two males that have Mishkevei Isha, that tells you whatever would work by a woman works over here. So if Hayara works by the women in the Arayot, that's also going to be problematic over here. That's clearly not the problem. Ela, Hame'are Behema, Mahu. Bestiality, does Hayara work over there? We don't need the word hara by achot av and achot aim because we already have the hekesh of Rabbi Yonah, which associates all the arayot together. We'll use it now. It's one of the principles of limud in the Torah, which is menu inyan kan, tneu inyan acher. If we can't use it over here, we'll use it for somewhere where we can use it. So by behema, it'll teach us this. Tosafot asks over here, what's the Gemara's question about behema and zachor? Aren't they included in the din of Rabbi Yonah, the Hekesh, that brings all the Arayot together, because they're found in Parshat Arayot as well? Ella, the problem is the way that it's phrased by Nidah, it says, et mikora heera. And therefore, Tosafot says, that won't work over here, because hanu lo shach behu mikor. They don't have a din of mikor. Mikor is something that's unique to the description of a woman, does not apply to a zachor, does not apply to a beima. And therefore, even with the Hekesh of Rabbi Yonah, we would have thought maybe not to extrapolate it to Behema and Zachor because of the use of the term Mikor over here. Or Inami, those what says, because that's not classified as Bia, even though it's done Kim Mishkevei Yisha. Nevertheless, it's not really classified as Bia. And since it's not Bia, maybe it won't be included under this rubric of Arayot. Gemara says, wait a minute. Michdei Behema Chayavei Mitot Beitin Hi. Behema is subject to capital punishment in a court. It writes it not by something that's subject to capital punishment, but something that's subject to karet. At least if you're going to take it in the wrong place and then have to associate it, at least it should be within the similar type of genre of arayot. So we have different genres of arayot. We have arayot that are chayav karet. We have arayot that are chayuv mitot beitin, which are capital crimes that will be punished in beitin. Even within there are different categories. There's chenek, there's sreifa, there's skila. We have different levels, but at least put it in that category. Why are you in the category of karet? You would hope that at least it's associated in some way with the Isra of Behema. So Mar says, my time aktiv lahara didag gabei chavei karetot. Lichtov gabei mitat beitin. Why are you putting it together with something that's chayav karet? Put it together with something that has capital punishment. Mar says, v'neilif mitat beitin mi mitat beitin. And then you would have learned it out. One mitat beitin to another mitat beitin. So, that is because the entire pasuk is extraneous. Since the entire pasuk is made for a drasha, they threw in all the works. Meaning that this limud, which you would have hoped would have been associated with one of the mitot beitin, since this pasuk already is all about drashot, they just added in this last drasha. Meaning that we're going to take this pasuk out of context, and we're going to use it to learn all these different drashot. So this was just another drasha that was added into this pasuk. I would say in the first place, the question is probably not so strong because We don't always find perfectly associated categories. The Gemara is just asking, if we're already there, why not have it at least closer to that? In the end, the Gemara just says, look, we have a huge amount of limudim from this pasuk. This will just be another limud out of this pasuk. We find that many times that certain pasukim are taken in the Torah and said their literal meaning is either not necessary, or we already have all these limudim from somewhere else. Therefore, the Gemara will then learn many things out of this pasuk. Different sections of the pasuk they'll use for limudim, and this is one of these cases. So Gemara says, my drasha. What is the drasha? Detanyo. It says in Achrimot Ervat Achot Avicha Lo Tigaleh. It says that you may not have a relationship with your father's sister. Ben Mina Av, Ben Mina Aim. Now whenever a Braita does this, this is what the conclusion of the Braita is going to be, but then it goes ahead and asks a question on it. Braita now says that no matter how this woman is your father's sister, do they share a common mother or do they share a common father? It does not matter. Either way, she's considered to be your aunt. And it's problematic over here. Atalmer ben mina'av ben mina'im. You're saying it doesn't matter? Maybe it's only if they have a common father, but not a common mother. Vidinu. Why would I think that? Because chayav kan, v'chayav ba'achuto. It makes you chayav here, and it makes you chayav by a sister. Ma'achuto, when it comes to an individual sister, ben mina'av ben mina'im, it makes no difference. Because there the pasuk says it explicitly, that Achoto, whether it's your sister through a mother or sister through a father, she is classified as your sister. It's irrelevant what the common parent is between you and this woman. She is considered to be your sister. So, ma'achoto ben mina'av ben mina'im, afkan ben mina'av ben mina'im. Oh, klach l'derech zu. Maybe you want to learn it this way. Chayav kan v'chayav bedodato. Makes you chayav here. It also makes you chayav with your aunt. Ma dodato mina'av v'lo mina'im. When it comes to your aunt, it's only where they share a common father, velo minaim, not when they share a common mother, afkan minaav, velo minaim. So too over here, it was talking about sharing a common father, not a common mother. So again, dodato, as opposed to achot aviv and achotimo, by achot aviv and achotimo, that is where they are blood relatives. Your aunt is a blood relative to your father or mother, sister of your mother, sister of your father. In the case, dodato is an aunt through marriage. She married your uncle. So there, the Gemara says over here that only is true where she married your uncle who shares a common father with your father. If you share a common father with your father, then that aunt is problematic. If they share a common mother, that's shniot me'arayot, and that's the same thing on the mother's side. The mother's side are all shniot me'arayot when it comes to those aunts that come through marriage. The difference between dodato and achot aviv, we call them today, we just call them an aunt. But there's aunt by marriage and an aunt by blood. So aunt by blood is what we're trying to figure out over here, whether the relationship has to be only through the father or can be father and mother. What they're quoting is that by an aunt through marriage on the father's side, it only is if they are brothers through their father that aunt is problematic, at least in the Torah. Again, shneil derayot, it'll even be problematic with a common mother between the father and his brother. So now the Gemara doesn't know which way to compare it. Is this, when we talk about an aunt here, is it only when the two siblings share a common father? Or is it even when they share a common mother? So now the Gemara says, Nira le mi dome. Let's see who they're more similar to. Dani nisura ba me'elav, misura ba me'elav. Let's look. The aunt that we're talking about here is a blood relative. That means it's an isura that comes from your familial relationship, not through marriage. So let's compare it to another familial relationship, which is sister. Those are both familial relationships, so that makes them more likely to be compared. That's something that only comes through marriage, not through a familial relationship. You want to talk about a relationship that comes through relationships of your father. Meaning that your sister is a relative because of your standing vis-a-vis your sister. It has nothing to do with who your parents are or who someone else is. The reason that your aunt is problematic, the sister of your father, is because your father's relationship to her. But here, your sister is because of your relationship to her that is the problem. So maybe we shouldn't compare them. So Talmud Lomar, the pasuk in Parshat Kedoshim says, this is the pasuk that we quoted, that we said is Kula Ledrasha, is Ervat Achot Avicha Lo Tigaleh Ben Mina'av Ben Mina'im. So there, from that pasuk, we learn out that it doesn't matter father or mother. Ervat Achot Imecha Lo Tigaleh. It doesn't say Lo Tigaleh twice, it only says it once, but the Gemara is now splitting Ervat Achot Imecha and Ervat Achot Avicha, Ben Mina'av, Ben Mina'im. So now the Gemara says, Lomali the Michtava Bachot Av, Lomali the Michtava Bachot Aim. Why do I have to mention both an aunt that comes through the father and an aunt that comes through the mother? Why do I have to repeat both of them? Amrei Vo Tzriche. Dika da Machmana Bachot Av, had I only written by Achot Av, Shuken Yeshlem Chais. The way Rashi learns Shuken Yeshlem Chais over here means that the father's family is considered to be family. The mother's family is not considered to be family. The Gemara will say this again a little bit. It will say this. But in terms of Yerusha, and in terms of your Yichus, if you're considered to be a Kohen Yisrael Levi, that's all determined by the father's family. And in their time, when you got married, you lived with the father's family. The woman left her family, and they lived together in the father's family. Today, it's almost the opposite. But in their day, that was the way it was. But Mishpacha only comes through the father. So if you only told me about father, I would have understood that aunt through the father. That's why there it doesn't matter whether it's mother or father. But Avalachot aim alo. But your mother's sister may be there only if they share a common father, not if they share a common mother. Vika davrana bachot aim, had you only written it by your mother's sister, Shekein Vadait. Over there we know for sure she's your aunt. Because we always know 100% who your mother is. As opposed to your father, who there's always safek, because the father doesn't give birth to the child. Aval achot av, aim alo. Maybe there we would say no, tzricha. That's why I need to mention both achot aim and achot av. Now, this braita made a number of assumptions. And all those assumptions the Gemara wants to understand now. Number one is, vidodato de pshitile de tana de mina av lo mina aim inole. How do you know that an aunt through marriage only matters when it's a common father? Meaning that your father's brother through a father, that's where a married aunt is a problem. But your father's brother through a mother, that married aunt is only shniyot arayot. How does he know that? He took that for granted, but where does he know that from? So Amarova acha dodo dodo. It's a gzeira shava of uncle uncle. Tivocha, it says ervat dodo gila. That's when, obviously, ervat dodo is his uncle. That's not what it's speaking about. It's speaking about his uncle's wife. Uchtiv hotam. And it says over there, is in Pashat Bahar, when it's talking about redeeming an individual who was sold into slavery. It says there, O dodo, O ben dodo, yigalenu. If a relative comes and redeems him, so who do they call his relatives? Dodo, his uncle, or ben dodo, his cousin that comes and redeems him. Malahalan mina av velo mina aim. Over there, how do you know which family we're talking about? We're talking about the father's family, not the mother's family. Avka mina av velo mina aim. So to over here, it's father's family, not mother's family. Vihota minolan. How do you know over there that's only talking about the father's family? Because Amakra, Mishpachto Yigalenu. That only from his family they will redeem him. Mishpachat Av Kriya Mishpacha. The family through the father's side is called family. Mishpachat Aim Ina Kriya Mishpacha. Family through the mother is not considered Mishpacha. Over there it's talking about Yerusha. In things of context of monetary matters and Yerusha, it's clear there that it goes through the father's family. So when we talk about redeeming the individual, the family we're speaking about must be the father's family, the Mishpachat Av. And that's how we know that's a dodo and ben dodo. We're talking about an uncle through a common father. A father is the key factor over here. Now, what's interesting, Rashi says, is that in an obligation to redeem an individual, it's hakarov hakarov. Whoever is more closely related has the obligation or the priority of obligation to redeem the individual. So the way Rashi phrases it over here is that the Mishpachat Av has to go first, and then only Mishpachat Aim afterwards, because the Av has the obligation because they're a closer relative. But other Rishonim learn over here that it's to exclusion. Mishpachat Av has an obligation, Mishpachat Aim doesn't have an obligation at all because they're not considered to be Mishpacha. They're not relatives in that sense. Relatives are through the father's family. Rashi just says it's an issue of precedence. The father's family has precedence over the mother's family because they're closer. So therefore the Dodo and Ben Dodo we're speaking about here are Mishpachat Av. Bahadit Nan. And what about this Mishnah? Amrulo Meita Ishtecha. It says, your wife passed away. V'nasa achota me'avia. He then marries her sister, but they had a common father. Meita. Then they told him that that woman passed away. V'nasa achota me'ima. So woman number one was his wife. Number two over here was his wife's sister with a common father. Woman number three is number two's sister. They share a common mother. Meita. They tell him she died as well. V'nasa achota me'avia. Woman number four shares a common father with woman number three. And he marries her. Meita, they tell her that she passed away. He marries a fifth woman who shares a common mother with fourth woman. Then he finds out that they're all alive. All this was mistaken information. Now, who can he stay married to? Mutar birishunav shlishit v'chamishit. He's mutar to stay married to the first, third, and fifth woman because they have no common parents. One and three share no common parents, and three and five share no common parents. So you may be married to them. Upotrot sarutehem. If yibum needs to be performed here, then they will discharge their co-wives. Vasur b'shnia b'rivit. Number two and number four he cannot be married to because they were problematic. Right. I mean that he married them when they were arayot. Even though it was by accident, he married them and they don't go through. Now, their marriages don't take hold, so therefore number three is not a surah. Because if two took hold, then number three would be a surah. The thing is that by number two and four, the relationship was a relationship outside of marriage context. Outside of marriage context, do not create arayot. Only in marriage context are arayot created. So since, even though he had bi'ah with these women, and he had a marriage with these women, that's not classified as marriage, because he couldn't have marriage with them. Therefore, whatever bi'ah he had with them, Rashi calls either pitui or ones, and therefore, it doesn't generate arayot. And that's why 1, 3, and 5 are mutarin, 2 and 4 are asurim. Ve'en bi'at achad mehen poteret sarata, and with 2 and 4, they don't discharge their co-wives, because he's not really married to them. If he had bi'ah with number two after his original wife passed away, then mutar b'shniyah b'rivit, 2 and 4 are mutarim, and potrot sarutehem, they will discharge their kovas, but sur b'shlishit urim chamishit, and then 3 and 5 are mutarim, because then the marriage for the second one took hold. And when it took hold, that means that he couldn't have married number three, but he could marry number four, and he couldn't have married number five. Tosfot asks over here, why does the Braita have to give such a complicated case of 5 women? You could have come or learned the same thing out of 3 women. You don't need 5. So Tosfot says, despite the fact that there's a whole chain over here and people might get confused, nevertheless, we do allow them to stay married to 1, 3, and 5, even though there's a lot of confusion over here. So the Braita mentioned that 5 instead of 3 in order to show you that we don't make a gezeira even if there are a number of women involved in this situation. Alma, Achot Ishto, Ben Minaav, Ben Minaim, Asurot. You see that Achot Ishto comes from both father and mother. You see that from the Braita. Minolon, that we'll deal with in tomorrow's daf. Stop here on the second line on the top of Nehem and Aleph. How do you know that? Because the Braita assumed by Achoto that whether it was a common father or mother, Achoto is Asura. By Mary. Aunt, it said that only through the father, not through the mother. We solved one problem. How do we know that aunt, married aunt, is only through the common father? Where do we know Achot Ishto means better father or mother? That we'll deal with in tomorrow's daf. Okay, we'll stop over here.